from deep inside your radio.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, do you have your duct tape yet? Not duct tape, by the way. A lot of people were, I think, making that mistake. And there is no tape that will actually adhere to a duck. It's just the grease level is prohibitive. So don't go asking for duct tape, because you'll go home crying. But if you have your duct tape, as recommended by the Department of Homeland Security this week, you may have already discovered, in which case you're not listening to me now, that if you seal every room in your house with plastic sheeting and duct tape before you're saved from anything, you will probably asphyxiate from the lack of air getting into the domicile in question. At least that was what was said this week by experts when asked, what about this duct tape thing? So Tom Ridge has now ducked away from the duct tape. We're checking on that for you right now, ladies and gentlemen, back in the newsroom. And, of course, there is no newsroom. But it's a time of it's an interesting moment in American history, because and I'm just judging by the zeitgeist or by any geist. But we seem to be more certain what to do about Iraq than what to do about Michael Jackson. Hello, welcome to the show.
Thank you. burning down. Finally, they're burning down. Finally, they're gonna burn them down. Finally, they're burning down.
Don't you hear that alarm clock? Get on out of that bed and wash your simple head. Can't you hear that alarm clock? I say, get out of that bed and get prepared to go to work. If I only had a dollar, buy some ham and eggs. I haven't had a square meal for many, many days. Can hear my stomach growling, and there's nothing I can do. Pray to the Lord, dear people, that it will never happen to you. Ham and eggs,
ham and eggs,
ham and eggs,
ham and eggs,
ham and eggs. Can't you hear me calling you? Could find a dollar, I'd buy some ham and eggs. I'd just as soon as settle for a big fat chicken leg. They say there's no depression and there's a lot of work to do. Pretty large people, it will never happen to you.
Yes, call and response, the theme of this morning's and today's. Hello, welcome to the show from the edge, from the other edge of America, from live from the French Quarter in New Orleans, Louisiana. And it is carnival time, as the probably the fattest man in show business, Big Al Carson, has musicalized. It is carnival time. And I've given up when people ask me, or even when they don't, especially when they don't ask me, to explain the attraction of carnival time in New Orleans, except to say that it's just refreshing to be someplace where, at least for a little while, all the insanity is benign. You see what I'm saying? It was pouring rain last night, and people were half-naked marching down the street with satirical, hand-wrought floats drawn by horses, separated by the best marching bands in the land. But that's not entertainment. Ladies and gentlemen, from a listener, listeners are now getting into this whole act of spotting items that are close enough for journalism. And by the way, before I get to those, I'm heartened and dismayed simultaneously, the mark of a true adult mind, that so many of you wrote in last week to say, Harry, Adlai Stevenson was at the UN in October of 1962. Now, I'll just say, I was pointing out the inaccuracy of the Associated Press, which is a large international organization with a deep and possibly even redundant staff. I'm a guy sitting in my house with a computer, okay? And I'm not in the news business either. So, but I hope all of you wrote to the Associated Press, too. That's all I can say. And I was also upbraided by a member of the journalism fraternity who says that this whole idea of close enough for journalism is nitpicking. The idea that I would upbraid, second use of that in an hour, upbraid the Associated Press for getting the year wrong by three on a caption when Adlai Stevenson was at the UN for a very dramatic moment, being analogized to the moment when Colin Powell went to the UN, a newsworthy moment in itself, that I'm nitpicking, that's not what real journalism is about. Well, how about this? Accuracy on the little facts is what gives... Here's an old-fashioned way of looking at it. Accuracy on the little facts is what gives them the privilege of thinking that we believe them when they tell us about the big facts. You see what I'm saying? Now, the new-fashioned way of saying that is, no, they buy that credibility with good haircuts and shiny desks. So, you know, either way, it works. From the New York Times online, we're not sure if this appeared in the print edition, but it did appear online, thanks to a listener. Quote, 2 years ago, Alan Greenspan provided crucial support for Mr. Bush's first round of tax cuts. That support helped Republicans win over wavering Democrats and push through the tax cuts, even though Democrats had a slim majority in the Senate at that time. Listener points out correctly, the Republicans had a slim majority in the Senate at the time the tax cut was passed. The last vote by James Jeffords of Vermont before he switched from Republican to independent, thus tipping the balance in the Senate, was for the tax cut. Thank you for that. And also, another listener writes about the welter of news stories that greeted the first tape. We are now led to believe there's a second Osama bin Laden tape that's been released. But the first bin Laden tape, we know what happened with the interpretations of that one. But according to the Washington Post translation of it, deep in the story. Bin Laden claims that 94% of his people survived the U.S. attack on Afghanistan. And this listener suggests that would be a good example of burying the lead. We got 6%. What's his problem? I do not understand. Ladies and gentlemen, and the Annals of Justice, the Federal Appeals Court in St. Louis ruled this week that officials in Arkansas, where justice really lives, don't you think, can force a prisoner on death row to take antipsychotic medication to make him sane enough to execute. Without the drugs, Charles Laverne Singleton, well, don't give your boy child a girl's middle name if you don't want him to be psychotic, ladies and gentlemen. That's just good advice. Charles Laverne Singleton could not be put to death under a United States Supreme Court decision that prohibits the execution of the insane. Quote, Singleton presents the court with the choice between involuntary medication followed by an execution and no medication followed by psychosis and imprisonment. Judge Roger Woolman wrote for the majority in ruling by the United States Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit. Judge Woolman said the first choice, involuntary medication followed by an execution, was the better one, at least when the drugs were generally beneficial to the prisoner. He said courts did not need to consider the ultimate result of medicating the prisoner. Eligibility for execution is the only unwanted consequence of the medication, he wrote. Well, memory loss. But if you're going to be executed, I guess that's a side effect you can live with, you can put up with. Couldn't we find just a middle way that isn't as stark as this? Maybe just requiring Charles Laverne to appear on Dr. Phil and then kill him? Well, not kill Dr. Phil. I didn't say that, did I? No. But just, or be on the radio with Dr. Laura for 3 hours. Man, that would cure him. That, he'd be running to the chamber after that. It's this medication I have. You know, let's get back to the talking therapy if we can for these guys. Please. Ladies and gentlemen, technology can be wonderful, but technology does have its own imperatives, and those are mainly the imperative of technology is if you've got it, you must use it. You cannot not use it. You need go no further to see this law in action than your television set. Every year, you can just guess what the new machine is that they bought in every television network across the country, because that's the machine that they'll be using to go from one shot to another, or to put a piece of graphic information on the screen and take it off. A few years back, it was, look, we can make it look like a page turn. And again, and again, and again. Look, we can make little animated things run on this screen and run off. Look, we can make the scores appear at the bottom of the screen and squeeze the game so it looks grotesquely distended. Well, okay, you're doing that once a quarter in a basketball game to tell us the scores of other games. That's arguably useful. But yes, now, of course, you've used the same technology constantly throughout a game to tell us what's going to be on your network next February. Over and over again. With little animated things to say to our eyes. Look, oh, don't look at the game. Look at here at the bottom of the screen. We're telling you about a new exclusive movie we got rights to for a week. Technology, of course, also sometimes brings countermeasures. So I make an open call this week to all those technologically minded listeners. Come up with some way to something we can do to just remove that bottom strip. I know we'll miss all the alerts on CNN, but something must be done. It's not just me. How about Laura Bush? First Lady Laura Bush, who is rarely outspoken in her public remarks, said this week she thinks constant news alerts on TV about terror are frightening people. Really? See, if you could just cut off the bottom of your screen where all that stuff happens, you'd relax. And you'd get to see the game. Quote, it's a little bit like crying wolf, she said in Manhattan, where they know from wolves. You know, it hasn't happened yet. What's the it in that sentence? Referring to the frequent labeling of TV reports with, quote, news alert and similar phrases, Laura Bush added, quote, I think the media needs to be very, very responsible. It's about 50 years too late, lady. At the same time, she echoed advice from Homeland Security Department that people should stock a few days' supply of food and water and have a radio so they can keep in constant contact with the news, which is the new stuff that's scaring them. Excuse me, Mrs. Bush? Bush's remarks were a brief aside, I see, in a talk about literacy initiatives for executives of the Hearst Corporation. Hearst, you know, Hearst has done so much to encourage literacy through the years. Starting that war, that was good for literacy. Though she mentioned no news organization by name, she appeared to be criticizing the 24-hour cable news networks. A news alert might be that Michael Jackson or some other celebrity did something, or it might be that the Columbia just fell apart, she said. In some ways, I feel like we're making people really nervous, because everything is the same in an attempt to get people to watch. Laura Bush, ladies and gentlemen. Fox News Channel chairman Roger Ailes sat at Bush's table and was an advisor to Bush 41. He told the New York Daily News afterward that the cable networks are damned if they do and or damned if they don't flag breaking news as alerts. That's right. All that criticism of not telling us they were alerts. We remember that, don't we? Ailes said viewers want news alerts, and they'll switch to the Animal Planet channel to find them if they have to. Of course, there the news alert is Westminster Dog Show, won by Terrier, which is not as alarming, oddly enough, except to those of us who like the standard poodle. Nonetheless, something that'll cut the bottom of the screen off without distending it the way they did for the games. Speaking of Fox, ladies and gentlemen, my network of choice has made news all over the place this week. I think that's what they made all over the place. A contestant on Fox's American Idol worked as a stripper. She made it to the final three on the reality show's first edition. And a contestant on the network's Joe Millionaire had a career as a high school cheerleader in bondage and fetish movies. But it is absolutely unacceptable for a contestant on the current edition of American Idol to have appeared on a porn site 4 years ago. Frenchie Davis got kicked off the show for just that. 19 Entertainment, the company that produces American Idol, and Fox abruptly pulled Frenchie Davis off the American Idol broadcast Tuesday night because she'd appeared on a porn site that caters to male fantasies about young girls. Davis, a 23-year-old Harvard University student, was over 18 when she took the porn job. No trace of her remains on the American Idol website. Fox and 19 Entertainment had known for weeks about Davis's work on the porn site, according to the Washington Post. She volunteered the information in filling out paperwork required to participate in the show. She was upfront and honest about it, one source said. I don't think Fox likes you to be that way, do they? I don't know. After having this information all the time, Fox and 19 made the decision to disqualify her because, according to the source, it took that long to have the requisite number of meetings. Or an advertiser blew a fuse, according to the Washington Post. According to a source, the parties determined that it's one thing to perform in a strip club and another to pose on a website geared toward male fantasies about underage girls. The contestant on Joe Millionaire was apparently a mature cheerleader in bondage. Davis said she took the topless job to earn money so she could re-enroll at Harvard University, where she is a theater arts major. On the American Idol website before she was disexisted, Davis said one of her proudest moments in life was getting back to school after not having the money and not being there for a year. Efforts to reach Davis were unsuccessful. The theater arts department at Howard University said, I can't give any information out on Frenchie Davis. 19 Entertainment issued a statement saying it will, quote, endeavor to do all in its power to help Frenchie further her music career, unquote. But, you know, there's been a power shortage at 19. So now just let's not pass any judgments yet, ladies and gentlemen, because the high moral and ethical standards of Fox's television operation are highlighted not only by that decision, but by this one. Fox has agreed to air outtakes that Michael Jackson selected from his controversial interview with a British journalist. A two-hour special tentatively titled Michael Jackson Take Two, the interview they wouldn't show you, is scheduled to air this coming Friday. Networks are rushing to air Michael Jackson related material during this February sweeps month. You may have noticed that the original ABC interview with Michael Jackson has been airing this past weekend pretty much relentlessly, and then ABC airs it again Monday night against NBC's Dateline about Michael Jackson's face. But this is Fox we're talking about. Angered by how interviewer Michael Bashir portrayed him. Michael? Is that his first name? That's what it says here, but I'm not sure that's right. Anyway, as an odd man child who says he sometimes innocently lets children sleep in his own bed, Jackson came forward with videotape taken during the Bashir interview by his own production company. Michael has cameras. Jackson's British publicist said the footage clearly shows that Bashir was actually continuing to praise Michael's abilities as a father, and Bashir making many statements about how he feels it is a pity that the world is so quick to criticize Michael. Something journalists never do. Lie to their subjects while they're trying to get them to open up. Fox spokesman said he didn't know how much the network paid Jackson for the video. ABC paid a British television company nearly $5 million to show the original interview and a few hundred thousand more to rerun it. Fox's special does not feature any new interview material with Jackson. He was reportedly ready to give an interview to 60 Minutes. Ed Bradley went up to Neverland and had to walk away empty-handed. Hey, Jackson representative. Oh, and the Fox show will also include interview material with the mother of his first two children, Debbie Rowe. So Fox, you see, you know, it's Martin Bashir. That's what I thought, said Michael in the AP story. I predict, said a Fox spokesman. No, sorry, Jackson spokesman. I predict this will change ABC's policy on how they receive this stuff in the future. It's going to blow viewers' minds as to what Bashir said relative to what came out in the 2020 special. The interview with Debbie Rowe was by a, quote, outside journalist we brought in to ensure objectivity, according to Jackson's publicist. Jackson's publicist hired a journalist to interview the mother of Jackson's first two children, ladies and gentlemen, to ensure objectivity. I think we all feel better now, especially Frenchie. And now for a regular feature of this broadcast, the Apologies of the Week.
We're so sorry.
A lot of sorrow in the air.
Sorry.
It's going around. From Pittsburgh, Allegheny County Common Pleas Judge Joseph Jaffe, who pleaded guilty in federal court to extorting money in exchange for judicial favors, has apologized. In his first formal statement, since he was indicted, Jaffe, his voice choking with tears, said he was sorry because I have disgraced myself, my family, my friends, and my colleagues on the court bench, particularly my close friends on the bench, and my two mentors. He made the apology in a phone call to a local newspaper. He acknowledged, he expressed regret that he'd let the public down. I apologize to the public for violating my oath of office and to an attorney, litigant, or witness. He also expressed regret that he'd let the public down. He acknowledged the humiliation he'd caused the federal bench. And several hours after reading the prepared statement to a reporter, he asked the newspaper not to use it. So he's sorry that he's sorry. The plight of British Columbia Premier Gordon Campbell, facing three new charges over his arrest for drunk driving last month in Hawaii, took some of the luster away from his initial speech of the year. He held a news conference to apologize for his behavior in Maui and reaffirm his plan to remain premier. There was an enormous error in judgment, and that will not happen again, he said. Certainly, as I've been around the province, I've had an awful lot of people coming up and asking how I'm doing. And asking me to keep on and stay the course, which, of course, if he'd done, he wouldn't have been arrested for drunk driving because if you came to him, that's Canadian for you. By the way, speaking of Canadians, do you see the story? This is not an apology yet. the Canadian pacifist who objected that her local school board had included on a list of words her third grader was expected to learn to spell, the word gun. You shouldn't be expected to learn to spell that word. That is the problem. So much violence is caused by people who know how to spell gun. In a January 30th story in its sports section, the Sacramento Bee now acknowledges it inaccurately portrayed Los Angeles Lakers guard Kobe Bryant as drunk. The story was intended as a humorous feature here, these amateurs toying around with humor again, about how Bryant could avoid food poisoning in Sacramento given the bout he suffered the last time the Lakers played in Sacramento. Since the story was published, however, Bryant's attorney said that Bryant does not drink. In addition, the Bee's sources for the story now says... source for the story now says through a spokesman that he was misquoted and he did not see Bryant at his restaurant the night Bryant became ill. The source, Jeff Wong, was first quoted by the Bee last May. That quote was not questioned until now and was relied upon for the story. The story was intended as a tongue-in-cheek article. Nonetheless, it did not meet the Sacramento Bee's reporting standards and was misleading to readers or misreading to leaders. We apologize to Bryant and to our readers, says the Bee. In Kentucky, a leader of the House of Representatives has managed to keep his job after an emotional apology for rigging a budget bill to accommodate his pet project, renovation of the center that contains the home of the University of Kentucky's basketball team. Representative Joe Barrows survived a close vote to hold on to his position as majority whip. He stunned his colleagues by announcing to the House that he had slipped into the budget bill $1.4 million for debt service on bonds to complete the renovation of the arena that violated an agreement the Democrats had with the Republicans to submit a lean budget bill. Of course, thank God this stuff doesn't happen in Washington, or we'd be in debt. I did what I thought was a good thing, but in retrospect, obviously a very stupid thing to do, Barrows said. Republicans politely applauded. And President Kim Dae-jung acknowledged that his government, he's the outgoing president of South Korea, his government had received assistance from Hyundai, which had many contacts in North Korea in the process of setting up the summit 2 years ago, 3 years ago, between the two Koreas. President Kim said the government should reveal the whole truth behind this now that it has been made public, and he would bear any responsibility. Hyundai has said that funds were transferred. There was a Nobel Peace Prize given to Kim Dae-jung for holding this Sunshine Summit. It's now revealed that monies changed hands to get the North Koreans to meet with the South Koreans, something apparently we won't do. We're above doing things for money. So a Nobel Prize for a peace meeting that happens just because some funds are exchanged. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, that whole... There's a stink, there's a reek about the whole Nobel thing now. I think Henry Kissinger should give his back.
Confusion, baby.
Confusion.
Confusion, baby.
Confusion. Confusion, baby.
Confusion, baby.
Confusion.
Heaven help the man who is
confused.
Confused as I. She keeps me guessing.
Confused.
For me, oh my.
One minute I'm happy, next minute I'm blue.
Confusion, baby, I don't know what to do. I don't know whether I'm going or coming. I just don't understand it. A woman, confusion, baby.
Confusion.
Woe be the man that has a peace of mind. Poor be the fool like me.
Confused.
Worried all the time.
There should be a place for heartbreakers like you.
Confusion, baby.
Confused.
I'm so confused. I don't know whether I'm going or coming. I just don't understand it. It's a woman. Confusion, baby.
Confusion.
Confusion, baby.
Confusion.
Oh. Confusion, baby.
Confusion.
Confusion, baby.
Confusion.
Heaven help the man who is
the eye. She keeps me guessing,
confused,
oh me, oh my.
One minute I'm happy, next minute I'm blue.
Confusion, baby, I don't know what to do. I don't know whether I'm going or coming. I just don't understand. It's a woman, confusion, baby. Confusion, baby.
Well, just in case, ladies and gentlemen, that you're confused by what's going on with regard to the impending, or is it impending, or is it just impending war on Iraq, some guidance. Rupert Murdoch has given his full backing to war, praising George Bush as acting morally and correctly, and describing Tony Blair as full of guts. He's full of guts. We're going on a limb to support Iraq. The media tycoon said he was completely behind Mr. Bush and Blair as they faced opposition from Germany and France. Much of the world, he said, cannot accept that America is the only superpower. Murdoch was unequivocal about war with Iraq. We can't back down now. I'm sorry. We can't back down now. He said the price of oil would be one of the war's main benefits. The greatest thing to come out of this for the world economy, if you could put it that way, said Rupert Murdoch, would be $20 a barrel for oil. That's bigger than any tax cut in any country. His comments come just after a week after he told Fortune magazine that war could fuel an economic boom. And there's no doubt that President Bush will be reelected, says Murdoch, if he wins the war with Iraq and the U.S. economy remains healthy. He will either go down in history as a very great president or he'll crash and burn. Good, Rupe. Thank you for that. And a leading figure in Iraq's opposition criticized what are now known to be America's plans to install a U.S. military governor in Baghdad to rule post-war Iraq, probably Tommy Franks, according to the reports I've read, describing the plans as, quote, an unmitigated disaster, quote, deeply stupid, and, quote, a mess. In an interview with the British newspaper The Observer, Kanan Makia, an advisor to Iraq's main opposition group, Iraq National Congress, and America now appeared to have dumped its commitment to bring Western-style democracy to Iraq. Under pressure from Saudi Arabia and the Arab Gulf states, Washington is preparing to leave Iraq under the control of Saddam Hussein's Ba'ath Party. That's Ba'ath with two A's. Ba'ath. It's probably just a tribute to the late Dolly the Sheep. Quote, this would be an unmitigated disaster for the long-term relationship between the U.S. and the Iraqi people, said the opposition leader. The Iraqi opposition is going to become anti-American the day after liberation. It is a great irony. The plan is bizarre, he said, of leaving the ruling infrastructure intact with two top officials in each Iraqi ministry replaced by U.S. military officers. It is Ba'athism, said the opposition leader, with an American face. The White House has been badly stung by his criticism. It urged him last week not to publish an opinion piece, arguing it would be, quote, counterproductive. And today on television, Condoleezza Rice, in describing what the United States would do for Iraq, you know, humanitarian aid, blah, 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 liberation, did in fact omit any mention of installing democracy there. It's a time of much confusion. We need some guidance, and fortunately, Tom Brokaw was on hand this week to give it to us.
Remember this, you can never love your dogs enough. That's Nightly News for this Tuesday. I'm Tom Brokaw.
He's headed straight for Dan country, don't you think? He's moving so fast into Danville because, what was it, 2 weeks ago he told us to hug our children? Now he's reminding us we need to love our dogs more. It's called the information age, ladies and gentlemen, because we get so darn much information. Anyway, the situation in Iraq, you know, there was a new report by Hans Blix and Mohammed El-Baradei at the UN Security Council on Friday. The U.S. was disappointed. It seemed to slow the momentum, at least on the part of other nations, to get behind the U.S., Britain, and Rupert Murdoch, and certainly must have spawned at least at least one phone call in the Bush household this weekend.
Eagle in limbo. Hey, 43. How you holding up? 41, never in my life did I want more to be 42, you know, to be president of a time in history when the prestige and leadership of this country had not yet been sullied by those who wore sneakers in the Oval Office. Bad week, huh, Sprout? Well, let's just say I'm feeling a little let down by Blixie at this point.
Blixie?
Hans Blix. I'm not whistling Blixie at the moment, if you get my drifting. I mean, whose team is he on anyway? If I had players like that on the Rangers, they'd have been looking at a Class C fastball quicker than you can say Class C fastball.
I think it's good for his credibility overall not to be seen as too close to our position in every jot and tittle.
Now, I'm a Christian man, 41. I'd appreciate it if you didn't use that kind of language, but see, this is exactly what Rumsfeld and Cheney warned us about at the start. Colin would get us ensnared in the world of diplomats and diplomatresses, and we'd be mired in that quicksand faster than you can say...
I know, quicksand.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's like Brer Rabbit in the Briar Patch.
Colin's a good man.
I mean about what Dick Cheney calls the canopy-munching treaty writers.
Yeah.
You know, pretty soon it's March. Blixie makes another report.
Mm-hmm.
Our biggest ally on the continent of Europe continues to be Spain.
Right.
I mean, it's getting too hot for the hazmat suits.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at opinion polls, if I looked at opinion polls, that are dropping like Enron stock options.
Well, I count your blessings you didn't get stuck with any of those.
Well, that's only because Mother told me to sell them.
There you go. One member of this family understands economics. Listen here, 43. You're getting sold a bill of goods by our good friends Rumsfeld and Cheney. You're trying to do something that's not easy.
Yeah.
And they're telling you it should be like Roland Daschle in a budget vote. This is tough stuff here.
Yeah.
Don't get down on yourself. Don't give up on Colin. He's a persuasive SOB in the long run. He just wears you down. By the time he's through with our French and German friends, they'll be dining on Happy Meals and memorizing Lee Hazelwood songs. You just gotta sit tight.
Okay, look here, 41. First thing, A, I'm not getting down on myself.
All right.
A sub one, I am getting down on Colin. He talked us into a policy where the only fellow that can make it work is, guess who? Colin. How does that make me look?
Like the guy that was smart enough to stick with Colin? Did Yeoman work on the Osama tape?
I know.
He went out there, bit the bullet for the team.
Mm-hmm.
For a couple of days there, people were actually believing him.
Yeah, I know, but...
You can't buy that kind of credibility.
Well,
you can, and you have,
yeah.
So stick with it.
You know, just the utter contempt of that guy.
What guy?
Been losing. That's what I call him.
Oh.
I mean, just to almost plagiarize what I said to the Iraqi people about our sharing common interests, and then to just twist it into his own evil words.
Well, now, next to trying to acquire weapons of mass destruction, plagiarism does seem kind of a minor offense.
Well, it got me suspended enough times, but yeah, you're right, 41. I gotta stay focused and determined. I gotta stay the strong leader.
There you go.
I got to be the ball.
Sure, that works.
If it means saying to Colin, here's the ball, big fella. Top of the ninth, bases loaded, nobody out. Get us out of a jam here, bud. I gotta do it.
I thought you were the ball.
If I gotta look Blixie in the eye and tell him, you're either with us or with the terrorists. I gotta do it.
Now look, son, you got New Europe and the whole Iberian Peninsula behind you. Don't forget that.
Thanks, 41, I won't.
Mm.
And listen, I'm sorry. If it makes you happy, you can say titty in front of me.
Tittle.
Anything about him. Give my love to Mom.
Yeah, say hi to Laura.
Bye.
Hello. Something's wrong. Something here that doesn't last too long. Maybe I shouldn't think of you as mine. But I can't help it, baby. Cause seeing you, yeah, seeing anyone as much as I do you, take for granted that you're always there. I take for granted that you just don't care. Sometimes I can't help seeing all the way through, baby. You know why? Oh, yeah. It's important to me. Think of me, babe. You know I'd be with you if I could. Come around to see you once in a while. If you ever need a reason to smile, I'll spend the night if you think I should. Well, to me that you know you are free. Cause I never want to make you change. Don't change, babe. Oh, keep everything the same, babe. Stay as sweet as you are. Every once in a while, if you ever need, or if you ever need a reason, smile, baby. Just don't change.
Ladies and gentlemen, while you're not changing, the Lower Manhattan Development Corporation is weeks away from making a final decision on the long-sought plan for what to do with the World Trade Center site. But a power struggle is taking place over just how much of the designs will ever be built. The Development Corporation has culled two final design concepts for the Trade Center site from nine proposals. Expects to select a plan by the end of the month. Beyond that, the future is hazy. Two views of what comes next are contending. The Development Corporation, which has strong personal ties with the White House, against the state's top economic development official, along with the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey executives and developers and others. The Development Corporation wants a strong ongoing role. The Port Authority wants the $120 million yearly lease money from the developer, Larry Silverstein, to continue, even though the buildings aren't there anymore. Mayor Bloomberg wants to take control of the site from the Port Authority in exchange for the land beneath the city's airports. So it's very complex. And, you know, as suggested here once before, there's a much simpler way to get this whole thing resolved.
Every week, Casey, Corey, and Carla take just a someplace and turn it into a real someplace else. Come on and watch as they embark on another madcap marathon of redesign on deadline. We're Exchanging Solids.
This is our biggest project of all, and it's not easy to get a mayor out of town.
Especially when the mayor is Mike Bloomberg and the town is New York.
Well, fortunately, he's got a fundraiser in White Sulphur Springs.
Or at least he thinks he does.
Yeah, there actually aren't any donors anywhere near the resort.
Mm-mm. But by the time he figures that out, we'll be well on our way. Well,
hey, we've only got 3 days to redo the World Trade Center site.
So, let's get way busy. It's a bustling city, but nobody bustles harder than the Exchanging Solids team. First, we had to decide how to design the space.
It'd be cool to have a mixed-use, mid-sized tower here, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but we want that street to cut through the site and reestablish the historic grid, don't we? Cement cutters!
Watch your fingers.
I will, if you watch yours.
I'll pour the asphalt.
Cool. That'll give me time to get the striping machine. Dude, now I know why this is usually a union gig.
Now, call me a girl, but I think we need some shopping.
You're a girl, and we don't do malls.
But what about an outdoor bazaar under a way cool awning?
Outdoor shopping?
Sweet!
Awning question?
Yes. Yeah.
Striped or solid?
Woo.
I vote striped. Way festive.
Yeah, but solid is easier to work with.
Hmm. Where did it say this is supposed to be easy? Meanwhile, the clock was ticking on that mid-sized mixed-use tower. Corey had designed a Japanese-style open platform tower, and Casey was cladding it in a spackled drop cloth. But wouldn't you know it?
Uh-oh. The spackling gun's blocked.
Ugh.
This is gonna throw us so off.
Well, I could try hand-spackling it as soon as I finish with this transit tunnel.
Yeah, but if there's no tower...
We don't need a tunnel.
Hi, Mom. I'm spackling.
We decided on a one-acre memorial park, so Casey spent that night sodding the ground, while Corey got up early and gathered children's drawings of the Twin Towers from 30 schools. And that afternoon, there I was, stapling them to the masonite wall of memory that I sank into the ground on piano legs.
Gee, 7 hours to go.
Uh-huh.
We've got a pretty cool-looking mega-parcel here.
Yeah. You know, as far as I can see, we've only forgotten one thing.
Hey, the papier-mâché curbings were set an hour ago.
Yeah, but...
Signage. Hey, Casey, that's not how you spell interborough.
It is now.
Well, the mayor's back. And he's looking at the project for the first time.
And? Well, I...
Yeah?
I wish I could run my whole administration like this. But seriously, you did get permits for all this.
We sure did.
Mm-hmm.
From the Food Channel.
Enough said. So,
You like it?
Well, it'll take a little getting used to. That's a yes.
Well, that's this week's show. Next time, join us in historic Venice, Italy. We're going to redesign it to stop the sinking. And we're going to do it in just 72 hours.
That's next time on Exchanging Solids.
Gentlemen, there's more benign insanity right outside this very lightly reinforced door. So that's going to put the cap on this. That's going to put the very feathered chapeau on this edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time. And on these same stations, on the USEN 440 cable system in Japan, on NPR worldwide throughout Europe, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the East Coast of North America, via the giant shortwave transmitter of WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz, across North America on Sirius satellite radio, and around the world whenever you want it on your computer at two locations, www.harryshearer.com and www.kcrw.com. And be just like having more Michael Jackson on TV if you'd agree to join with me then. Would you? All righty. Thank you very much. Uh-huh. We're going to try to solve the mystery of this email newsletter I've been fixing to send out to you folks, so don't panic, but don't request it either. The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. The show internet services by Steve Mack. Production assistance on today's broadcast, ineffable production assistance by the invaluable Bob Dunn at WWL-TV. Show comes to you from Century Progress Productions, where it's the village of SAS, satellite service, KCRW Santa Monica, community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.